Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we are here to pray, but we do want to bless your name in song. And the Lord, talking about faith this morning and righteousness and faith accounted to righteousness, Lord, this song came to mind. And so may it speak to us as we sing it together in Jesus' name. Number 29. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. On Christ the silent rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 15. We've been in Genesis 15 before. It's the promise. It's the covenant to Abraham. But I want to look at it just a little bit different today. I want to look at four phrases in this prayer area here of the first six verses of chapter 15. There's four phrases is the first use of the phrases in the Bible, and they're often important to understand, to better understand the phrase, to see how it was used the first time. So I have them underlined in the top paragraph up there. After these things, now that was after what things? It was after Abraham had just surprised Chedorlaomer and the four armies of the east, very powerful. They had just wiped up the five armies down around the Dead Sea. And, of course, they, as you know, kidnapped Lot and all of his household and all. And then Abraham, sent 300 and some of his servants after these four armies, and God delivered Lot, and they brought all this stuff back. And, of course, Abraham met Melchizedek then and paid him tithes, and then later he came to the king of Sodom, and the guy said, you can have all the spoil, and Abraham said, I won't take a thing from you. And now he's back, and he must be afraid. What if those four armies, man, they'll come back and just wipe us out. Oh, I don't know if we should have even done that. And, you know, here we are after all this work and don't really have really anything to show for it. Maybe I wasn't so wise in just not taking a little bit of something. You know, I don't know. I don't know what he was thinking. But this is how God is meeting him. After these things. And then we have the first phrase that's used 102 times in the Bible. The word of the Lord came. The word of the Lord came. The word of the Lord came. A recurring phrase emphasizing the God-breathed character of the Bible. And one of the purposes is the word coming is in 1 Peter 1, 10 to 12 for us. And we read there, of this salvation, Peter writes, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed, not to themselves, but to whom? To us. They were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. So we have these scriptures, we have these promises for our benefit, is what he's saying here. And so the word of the Lord came, and over and over and over we read that in the scriptures. Came to Abram in a vision, saying what? Second phrase, which is used 50 times in the Bible. Do not fear is used another 51 times in the Bible. So God is telling us, do not be afraid, or fear not, or do not fear. I didn't even look up fear not. I just looked up, do not be afraid was 50 times, do not fear another 51 times. And, of course, it was used here to Abraham, is used to Jacob, used to Moses, used to Joshua, used to Gideon, used to Ruth, to David, to Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Elijah, Paul, and Apostle Paul, and many others. Amazing, isn't it? God is saying, do not be afraid. Abram, obviously he wouldn't tell that to Abram or any of the other people he tells that to unless they were fearful, right? God knows us. He knows our heart. He's not going to say, don't be afraid when we're not afraid. But what about you? What about me? Are we standing on the promises of God when fear hits us? There's many things in our life that would cause fear in the flesh because anything in the future is unknown, right?
Yeah.
God has not given us the ability to know anything in the future, and we always fear the worst. You know as well as I do, the large number of your fears never materialize. This huge problem, which is right around the corner many, many times, never happens, right? Well, you're all laughing. Maybe that only happens to me. I don't know. But he's saying here, do not be afraid, do not fear. And so my question to you is, when you are afraid, do you really stand on the promises of God? Do you have those one, two, three, five, six, ten, whatever it is, scriptures in your heart that relate to his promises in times of fear? If you don't, get your Bible out and start to memorize some of those scriptures and stand on them. That's why we got them. One of my favorites is Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, be not dismayed, right? For I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. A mighty promise there. And so when you come to fear, don't let that fear run with your mind and drive you crazy. But go to the promise of God and stand on it. And remember this study here this morning. Do not be afraid, Abram. And then the third phrase, which is used in various variations, but God says, I am your shield. I am your protector. I stand before you. I know what you're doing. You know, remember God told Moses, the children of Israel in Egypt before he brought them out, I have seen, I have heard, I will deliver. He is our shield. We read in the scripture phrases like God is our refuge and strength. He is a tower of refuge. He's an overshadowing rock. Blessed is he that hides under the shadow of the Almighty, and many, many, many more. So we see God protecting us. He is our shield. Also in this case, he told Abraham, what? I am your reward. Don't sweat it that you didn't take any of the spoil. Because what is your reward? Is it your things or is God your reward? And I can look in my life and see how one of the amazing ways that the Lord has changed my life through his grace and mercy and through the Spirit working in me is where I'm looking for my reward. I'm not looking for my reward from a better job, from more money, from a bigger house, or even a house, or a bigger apartment, or a car, or a new car, or whatever. That's not where I'm looking for anymore. Now, I've still got the flesh, so I'm not trying to say that I'm there. But nevertheless, we recognize what? We don't want to look for rewards. We don't want to look for this spoil that we get when the Lord delivers maybe a lot into our hands with all the spoil of the enemy. We want to look to him. Is he not our great reward? So he's telling Abraham here, don't be afraid. I am your shield. I will protect you. Your exceedingly great reward. Isn't that good?
Yes.
Then he goes on to say, here's Abram. Don't you love Abram? He's just like us. Rather than say, okay, Lord, I feel a lot better. Abraham said, but Lord, what will you give me? Now, he just said, I am your reward. You've got it all made. And so the first thing Abraham says, okay, what do you give me? I don't have a son. Now, you promised me a son 10 years ago or so. I don't have a son. The only one, the oldest heir that I have, who would be my heir, is my oldest employee or my whatever favorite servant or whatever that is. Anyway, Eliezer of Damascus. And he says, Lord, you haven't given me an offspring, one born of my house. And so then the Lord, again, a nice promise, saying, this one, Eliezer, shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then God took him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. Now we know the naked eye can probably not see more than maybe 1,000 or a few thousand. It certainly can't see millions and trillions that are out there. And here then, God says, Abraham, look at those stars. So shall your descendants be. And then we have this wonderful phrase, he believed in the Lord, and God accounted it to him for righteousness. That particular phrase is really the foundation of what the Reformation was built on, and it is that great phrase we see repeated in Romans 4 a couple of times. We see it repeated in Galatians 3:6. We see it repeated in James 2:23. Now, in the New Testament, faith and belief are the same word, pistuo in the Greek. So wherever you see faith and belief, know that the same root. Now, basically, usually, belief is more in the verbal form. I believe, it means kind of I do something. Whereas just faith, it's something I have, is more like a noun. But the root is the same, so they're really interchangeable. If you want to say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes, you could really say there that whoever has faith, and it means the same thing. And look at some of these scriptures that we lean on with regard to salvation. In John 3:16, I just mentioned that. Whoever believes should not perish. Whoever believes should not perish, but have eternal life. Abraham believed, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Romans 10:9, those great evangelistic verses, that if you confess with your mouth, what? And believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For what? For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. That's our foundation, isn't it? 1 John 5:13 says, this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son does not have the life. These things I write to you, what? That you may know that if you believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God, or that you believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe. And so there we have in 1 John 5 the word believe twice. So, Abraham believed, it was accounted to him for righteousness. That is the basis of our faith. That is the basis of our salvation. My question to you, to me, is how strong is my faith? How strong is your faith in Jesus Christ? And do you, do I, truly believe? And are you and am I sure the Lord is accounting your faith, your belief in him for righteousness? And then having settled that, and that's probably settled for everybody here, I'm not sure, but then we want to pray, what? For those who do not yet believe. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the example of Abraham, and he believed, even though he couldn't see it. Because what is faith? Faith is believing without sight, is believing without having the answers in our hand. But it's trusting you, believing in you, believing that you love us so much because of sending your Son on the cross. That is the example of the love we can always go back to. And by believing in you, we have that assurance of being with you forever, because it is an indication of our trust in you and of our love for you and to you. And Lord, here we are this morning to pray. I pray you would put it in our hearts as we respond to you, Spirit, and that we would be praying in one accord. So lead us now in this time of prayer as we pray as one, and a little later we'll break into a little group so everybody can pray, because there may not be enough time for us all to pray with what's on our heart. But may we keep our prayers short as prompted by you, and may we respond now in one accord, led by your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.